For WKAR News, I'm Scott Pohl. In recent weeks, per- and polyfluorinated compounds known as PFAS have increasingly been detected in Michigan water supplies. According to Bridge magazine, about 24 sites in the state have been found to be contaminated with PFAS. I spoke with Dr. Norb Kaminsky, director of the Institute for Integrative Toxicology at Michigan State University, about exposure to PFAS. Of the roughly 24 Michigan sites where PFAS contamination has been detected, only one is in the Lansing area. According to Bridge magazine, the former General Motors site known as Racer Plant 3 has shown a highest sample of 14,000 parts per trillion. Dr. Kaminsky says that's well above the level that's permissible in water. Dr. Kaminsky says PFAS are persistent in the environment as well as in the body. But the public should keep in mind that most of the toxicology information we have comes from rodent studies rather than human.
Probably the most sensitive endpoints that people have found or toxicities associated with these compounds are developmental effects. So this primarily, when I talk about developmental effects, more specifically I'm talking about the formation of bone that slowed. In animal studies, they've shown that offspring open their eyes. When they open their eyes, it's slightly delayed. And mammary gland development is another that seems to be slowed down in offsprings. And so the regulatory limits that's set by the EPA, both in terms of drinking water and what lifetime exposure would be at a safe level, are based on those developmental studies. So adults are less sensitive to these compounds than the developing fetus and then also children as they're developing.
I'd like to compare that to what is often said about lead, that there's no safe level of exposure to lead. Would you say something similar to that with regard to PFAS?
I'm not sure we have enough information, and quite honestly, I think that is a very difficult statement to make because it all depends on ultimately what you define as an adverse effect. Depending on who you speak to, sometimes just a change in a biological response, some people would consider that an adverse effect, where others would just say, well, this is basically an adaptive response. So I'm not sure I would like to go there with that question.
I recently interviewed Dr. Mona Hanna-Attisha about her new book on the Flint water crisis, and she says this.
So I will not drink the tap water in Flint, nor will I drink it anywhere else.
I'm just curious what you think about the typical homeowner, apartment dweller, drinking tap water anywhere in America.
Yeah. Well, I guess I would probably differ a little bit with her. I feel that drinking tap water is very safe. But I also do want to know that our government, our regulatory agencies are, in fact, screening public water supplies and seeing a relatively recent EPA document. I saw there that approximately 1% of the water supplies, public water supplies around the country, have detectable levels of, in this case, PFOA, which is what they were screening for, and they were around or maybe slightly above what the EPA, you know, allows. So, again, I put all this in context, though, because those levels that are set by the government do have all these uncertainty factors that are built into that. So there is actually quite a bit of room there in terms of where these compounds would begin to show toxicity. And in fact, in animal studies, most of those studies were done where animals were exposed to milligram per kilogram quantity. So we're close to 1,000-fold more than what we see in the drinking water.
Dr. Norb Kaminsky, thank you.
Well, thank you very much for this opportunity.
For WKAR News, I'm Scott Pohl.